This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
What is up, Zoneheads, and welcome back for another episode of The Underreported, the episode of the week that we get the chance to take a look into a different news story here in the Orlando sports ecosystem. My name is Greg Rhodes, and I'll be your host today. And we've been talking a lot of pro sports recently. We've been talking a lot about any kind of variety of playoffs that are going on right now, and we've had a blast doing all of that. But one of the things that I've really enjoyed about doing these underreported episodes is kind of looking a little bit deeper into what makes Orlando sports special, and the individuals that kind of help make that sports scene just a little bit different than anywhere else. And coming up on an election year, which means it's an Olympic year, we've got the Olympics coming in 2024, Paris this summer, I thought, what a better way to focus on some of the more spectacular individuals and athletes that come out of Central Florida than to speak with one that's going to represent our country on the biggest stage that an amateur athlete can possibly hope for. And that led me to Amari Jones. Amari is going to be representing the United States in boxing this coming summer, and he's from right here in Central Florida. So here's that interview with Amari Jones. And welcome back for another episode of The Underreported. I'm your host, Greg Rhodes, and this week we have a very special guest. I'm very excited to speak with this young man. He's from Orlando, and he's going to the Olympics. I'm talking about Amari Jones out of Edgewater High School, 21 years old, and going to the Olympics. Congratulations, Amari. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, like I said, you're from Orlando. How does someone from Orlando get into boxing?
Well, I started out with karate at four. So my dojo that I was at just ended up having a boxing and karate studio. So when I turned eight, it was like right after karate, I was changed into my boxing clothes and get straight to boxing. My brothers, we all have our black belts, so I'm the one that kind of, you know, kept the contact sport route going for us.
That's great. So you've been in some kind of combat sport since you were four?
Yes. So my parents, my dad and mom, put us in that for the discipline aspect, and I felt that definitely paid dividends for where I am now.
Oh, that's great. And so that you must have been a natural. Like, so when you first stepped out there, they were like, oh yeah, no, this kid, he's gonna figure this out real quick.
For sure. Especially coming from karate, when I first stepped into boxing, that's kind of what they said. That's kind of the word they used, was natural. Cause I mean, karate is, you know, we had to worry about feet too. So, so boxing, all I had to do was worry about the hands, and, you know, I felt that was much easier for me, and I had to choose one at the end, and I stuck with boxing.
Oh, that's awesome. And so I'm sure with that footwork that you learned in karate, that's carried over even some of the lessons that you learned from way back, like you said, from when you were younger. You have your black belt, so it's not like you gave up on it.
For sure.
So not only boxing was a big part of your life here in Central Florida, you were also nominated for the 2021 MLK Humanitarian Award from the mayor's office here in Orlando. Can you talk a little bit on that, about what exactly it was that your community outreach program was, and just what that meant to you to be able to be recognized by such an awesome award?
Yes. Yeah, so I feel like that award was great for me. I mean, especially for it to be named after Martin Luther King and what he's done for the community, for the world, for the Black community. I mean, it's an honor for me to get that. And I've been doing community work since fifth or sixth grade, coming out of elementary school. So I worked closely with a program, a young men's club that I've been in since fifth grade, called Lambda Gamma Young Men's Club. And it's ran by my two mentors, who are still my mentors to this day. And my parents and them as well kind of instilled that in me, like, you know, what you're doing is great, but, you know, I felt like it was a necessity for me to always give back to my community, give hope to the younger generation coming behind me, whether that's mentoring them, helping them with schoolwork, feeding the homeless. You know, I just make sure that I'm heavily involved in my community, especially with the support and backing that I have behind Orlando.
Let's take a quick pause in the action to talk about today's sponsor, Diamond Dog Athletics, run by my guy Nick, a veteran-owned and operated apparel and sportswear company that specializes in creating custom apparel for teams of all ages. I'm talking baseball, softball, bats, gloves, catcher's equipment, uniforms, hats, and hoodies, you name it. By creating custom high-quality uniforms that the players will love, they'll look good on and off the field, and by using the best gear and equipment on the market, it will encourage them to continue to put in the effort needed to make it as far as possible on the diamond. Take a look for yourself. You'll be blown away with what you see at Diamond Dog Athletics on Instagram, or you can send Nick an email, diamonddogathleticsllc@gmail.com. Back to the show.
Yeah, no, the fact that Orlando is, it's becoming a bigger and bigger city, even as we're talking on this podcast right now, people are moving to the city, but there's still that community aspect that I do feel is very important in this city. It's got a small city feel in a really big city glow up. You know what I mean?
For sure. A lot of more highways being built,
more highways being built every day. So,
yeah.
Now, as far as your kind of upbringing in Orlando, can you talk a little bit on that? I know that it says that you went to Edgewater High School, but just kind of how growing up in Orlando kind of really shaped that view that you have that you need to give back to your community.
Yes, I feel like it's my team that was behind me for sure to make sure that's what I have to do and need to do. And, you know, I feel like I had the support since elementary school. I went to Lake Jim Elementary, which is down the road from my house, Meadowbrook Middle School. You know, I still stay in contact with my teachers, a lot of my teachers to this day. And then graduated from Edgewater High School. They called, a funny story, the principal called me the mayor of Edgewater. So it's like, it's just great to see that the people around me speak highly of me, expect a lot out of me. And just the support and love is really what shaped me to keep going. You know, they believed in me through the ups and downs, and I told them what I would do. This was the goal, and they was behind me 100%. So that's definitely how I feel like Orlando shaped me. You know, the gym, my gym, my support system, my coaches is definitely what did it for me and why I'm here today.
And you talk about shouldering those expectations. I think that's something we're going to get onto a little bit here once we start talking a little bit about the upcoming Olympics. But sure. Being 21 years old, and I see that you're currently enrolled at Valencia Community College. Is that still correct?
Correct.
How are you balancing just the idea of being a 21-year-old? There's things that you want to do as a 21-year-old that I'm sure you see your friends and family and things like that doing. But then you also have this this heavy burden. I don't want to call it a burden because I think it's also it's an honor to be able to represent your country, obviously, right? But it's got a weigh on you that you are also with all of these expectations and becoming an Olympian. How do you kind of balance that out to make sure that, you know, you're still that 21-year-old, but you also have these great expectations?
Yes. You know, sometimes, you know, I have to thank God for getting me to this position, and this is something that I asked for. So when you ask for it, you have to be ready for it. I know the work that I put in, and you know, sometimes the expectation and things like that, of course, they cross my mind, like, man, they're, you know, hoping that I do this, or I'm the one that they're choosing for that. But I just know I have to, you know, stay grounded, continue to believe in God, keep my support system behind me, and just go in there and have fun and do, you know, go to the Olympics and do what I'm here for, and that's to win a gold medal.
I'm glad that you brought that part up, to win a gold medal. Yes. Now, that's something that the U.S. has a very rich Olympic boxing history.
Yes.
But we haven't won a men's gold in boxing since Andre Ward in 2004.
Correct.
How does that motivate you in a way, or does that also kind of put it into perspective that it's hard? It's not like it's not like we've had scrubs going to the Olympics from our boxing academies. How do you focus in on that? And how do you use that towards your training and things like that?
I mean, it's definitely a motivation. I see his picture when I step into the gym at the Olympic Training Center every day. So just to look at that and to be something, you know, for me to chase something that a lot of people may think is impossible, but I know anything is possible with the work I put in, continuing to trust in God. You know, anything is possible once I believe and I put in the work. I mean, I know I put in the work, and so I'm just going to continue to trust my skills and do what I do best and go out there and perform and show the world that the Team USA is still the top team out there. And I like the point that you said, you know, we had a lot of great fighters that went to the Olympics. I mean, Corey Stevenson, Duke Reagan, so many top guys that I can name off that came real close to winning the gold, but just came up short. So I'm learning from those guys and just making my adjustments accordingly.
Now in Italy for the qualifiers, you fought in the 71 kilogram weight class. Is that what you'll be fighting in for the Olympics as well?
Yes, that's the qualification weight that I qualified at. So no changing there.
And what's your fighting weight at right now?
I'm right around my weight.
You're right at it. Yeah, you're right at that 156 mark.
Yeah, I make sure I stay in shape and on weight, so when it's time to fight, I'm ready to rock and roll.
Now, a lot of our listeners probably aren't as familiar with Olympic boxing as they would say with like professional boxing. How does the weigh-in and weight classes, how is that different compared to what you'd see in like a professional atmosphere?
The weigh-in for amateur boxing, I mean, it could be very chaotic sometimes because you have basically all the weight classes and opponents that's going to be fighting that day that's all weighing in. And, you know, you have a line. You got to make sure you get up early to get there versus in the pros. You see a face-off. You see, you know, them weighing in on a scale, a big crowd. But amateur weigh-in is basically closed off, just you and the coaches and the other athletes that's fighting that day. That's why I say it could be very chaotic.
Oh yeah. No, I can only imagine, especially in the amateur ranks, you get so many fights going on in the same day within a week even. So
yeah, two sessions, three sessions.
Yeah, no, exactly. And in Italy, how many fights did you have and what kind of time frame were they within?
So in Italy, I had to have four fights to qualify, and my bracket, the 71 kilograms bracket, had the most people in it. I believe it was 70 fighters, and I had to fight four times. The break was kind of like a day, one-day break, and then you get to go again, two-day break. But as you get closer to the competition, towards the end of the competition, for some reason, the breaks get a little shorter. So for my finals day, I fought the day before, and then I fought right after, so back-to-back days. So it all depends on how they have the bracket and schedule for your division.
Gotcha. And are you assuming a probably similar schedule once you do get to Paris for the Olympics?
In Paris for the Olympics, I believe they'll give us a little bit of more break in between, maybe 2 or 3 days, and then fight again.
Gotcha. Yep. Yeah, and it probably does help that they have a few less fighters. They're not going to have 70 there trying to qualify just for the weight class, right?
Yes, I believe it's only 20 or 22 quota places for my division. So it's going to be the top of the top for sure.
That's great. So as far as what you're expecting going to Paris, going to the Olympic Village, what are some things that you are most anticipating? I know a lot of the focus going into it is on the competition, but there is some just an amazing opportunity to travel the world that you've already been able to do over the last couple of years. What is your like one thing that you need to see when you get to Paris?
For sure, we have to go see the Eiffel Tower for sure.
There you go.
I'm definitely looking forward to the opening ceremony. I mean, that's something that I've seen at a young age, you know, seeing LeBron 2012 in the London Olympics and, you know, just certain things like that when I look back at a young age and just like, wow, like, you know, you're actually going to be there. You're not watching it on TV anymore. And of course, competition and being at the top of the podium.
Now, this being your first Olympics, is there an athlete that you're looking most forward to meeting?
LeBron.
Yes, is it LeBron? When you said LeBron, I was like, I bet it's going to be LeBron, but I still got to ask.
LeBron, for sure. I mean, you know, just watching him. I've seen him. I've been to a Magic game and seeing the Lakers come out, and you know, it's just, you know, great to witness greatness. I mean, Shaquari Richardson, it's so many great USA athletes. I feel like it's just gonna be an amazing experience for me, but I just know I have to, you know, take it all in, but at the same time stay focused on the goal. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, no, and don't forget that some of them are pretty excited to meet you too, because you've done right. Some impressive things. So
yeah.
Now after the Olympics, and I'm sure you're not thinking too much about this, but it's got to be at least in the back of your mind. Looking up at the BoxRec rankings, you're the number 5 pound-for-pound U.S. amateur. Do you have plans for boxing in your future after your amateur career?
Yes, for sure. Right now, I'm weighing my options and just seeing what's the next steps. But for right now, I'm definitely locked in on Paris and just want to see the steps to take after this journey is done. And sure. you say right now I'm number 5 in the world.
U.S. or, amateur pound for pound.
Oh, U.S. amateur pound for pound. Okay, so it's a couple people ahead of me. Okay.
Now, BoxRec has, you know, BoxRec's rankings can be a little bit tricky, right. But yeah, no, you're right up there at the top. So I found that very impressive, even being number 5, you know, so.
Right.
Now, again, I know you're focusing on Paris and upcoming, but what are your thoughts on just kind of the state of professional boxing in the United States right now? We've seen a huge rise in combat sports. MMA has really taken off, and I think they kind of hold that seat right now at the top, but there's in the same way that there's a rich history at the Olympics, there's a rich history in boxing in the United States that I feel like we're kind of transitioning to a different phase of. What are your thoughts on just kind of the future of boxing in the United States? And what do you think are some things that boxing can do better?
Yes, well, right now I feel like boxing is the art of fighting. I mean, you have to use skills versus MMA, you know. Well, they use skills too as well, you know, no shade to them, no shade to them at all. Sure. But I just feel like boxing is like just the art of fighting. And I love the direction that things are going. I mean, you see that the best are fighting the best. You just had Ryan Garcia versus Devin Haney. That was a major upset.
right.
You just had, Terrence. We still can't forget about Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence. Right now you have Gervonta Davis versus Frank Martin coming up. I don't know if the Tyson Fury fight is supposed to still be going on, but, you know, I just feel like right now boxing is kind of like it was on a decline for a little bit because, you know, nobody was really fighting anybody. But right now I feel like we're in a really good place, and it's a lot, you know, all I see on my timeline right now is boxing or this person beefing with that person. And like, I feel like it's just so much excitement to the sport right now.
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely names that are coming up now that we haven't seen as consistently. I know Deontay Wilder's getting ready for another fight here soon. I'm excited for that.
Big Baby, right?
Against, yeah.
Jared. That's going to be a great one.
Exactly. Now, you talked to, I'll ask you this one just because I think it might be something that's maybe because of your age, it might be something that's more interesting to you with the Paul brothers and their kind of rise in the boxing ranks. What do you think of their participation in boxing? Do you think it's a net positive because of the attention it brings? Or do you think it could be maybe a net negative because of the attention it can, the other type of attention it brings? You know what I mean?
Yes. I feel like some people are definitely mad at it and what they bring, but I feel like they're putting the work in. So, I mean, anybody that puts the work in, whether it's boxing, basketball, at the end of the day, you have to respect it. So it's not like they're just in there. You know, the competition is maybe but the people who they're fighting, but at the end of the day, they're putting the work in. So I respect them for that. They're taking the sport serious.
I think that's a great point. Because, yeah, no, you definitely seen that they put in the work to learn the sport and, like you said, learn the art of fighting here in boxing. So,
yeah,
Amari, thank you so much. You've been such a great guest. Congratulations again on becoming an Olympian. We're excited. I'll be keeping an eye out for you during the opening ceremonies. Hopefully I see you with your arm around LeBron.
Yes, sir.
and just good luck and be safe with everything.
All right. No problem. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. Is there anywhere that you'd like people to let people know, like where to follow you, Instagram, Twitter, anything like that?
You can follow me on Instagram. It's kind of a long name, Banger Put DEM, Dem Pause. And you can follow me on Twitter at @IAM_OmariJ. And you can also go to my website for my merchandise that will be coming out at the end of this month. OmariBangerJones.com. Thank you guys for your support.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Omari. And we'll talk again soon after the Olympics. All right.
For sure. Thank you.
What an impressive young man. I'm so glad that I got the chance to speak with Omari here before we come up onto the Olympic season. Good luck to him. Good luck to all of our Olympians there in Paris. And hopefully he brings home the gold. I know he's going to have all of Orlando in his corner. And I know he's going to have all of you zone heads in his corner now after that interview. Now, if you want to continue our discussion on boxing, make sure to look for Zone-Heads on Facebook so you can join the ever-growing Facebook community that we have there. If you haven't already, check me out on MySportsFlorida.com and at MySportsFlorida on all social media. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Zone-Heads Orlando podcast. I was your host, Greg Rhodes, here for The Underreported.
Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Diamond Dog Athletics, custom baseball and softball uniforms for kids of all ages. Look good, feel good, play good, and email them today. Diamond Dog Athletics, LLC @gmail.com. We appreciate you listening to today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. If you like the content you hear, rate, review, subscribe, and we'll keep it coming. Zoneheads Orlando on Facebook and on Instagram, the Orlando sports content that you crave. We appreciate you checking us out, and if you keep coming, we'll keep cranking out content. Talk soon, Zoneheads.